Hello again, friends. We're good today. It's good to be with you on the broadcast today. Always good to come to your family circle, and I hope that you can take a few minutes out from your busy activities of the day and spend with us and with your Bible just this period of time for reflection, meditation, and I'm sure some real good thinking. Listen to this now as we read from the final verse of the 7th chapter of Acts. And he, referring to Stephen, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Well, someone says this, of course, was the death of Stephen. It was a terrible death. He was stoned. And I'm sure when we think about stoning, it probably goes much farther than we actually realize what it would mean for a person to be stoned. I've been told that perhaps the person ended up in just being a bloody gob, so to speak. But the wonderful thing about this teaching here is what he was able to say before he died. "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. You know, this is much like Jesus, isn't it? When he was upon the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And we think of the great magnitude of really what that reaches out for and what it touches. There may have been some of the very people who actually stoned Stephen here that were converted to the Lord. In fact, we know Saul of Tarsus was. We probably do not have Saul throwing any stones. I can't say one way or another, but it would appear from the record here that as he was there, they put their cloaks down at the feet of a young man's name who was Saul. And it would indicate that he probably was a bystander, but he witnessed this. So the point I want to emphasize is that the attitude that Stephen had was not to uphold violence, was not certainly to encourage these people to throw more stones at him and to throw more stones at the other apostles, but to recognize the fact that everything Stephen had said as the wonderful 7th chapter unfolds in one of the best reviews we have of the Old Testament, he had offered unto them the truth of God's Word. And I'm especially interested, I talk to you on the broadcast today, to realize that this truth of God's Word indicates not alone a hearing and believing, but it indicates a willingness of doing. So here was Stephen who had gone the last mile in this wonderful defense. And then, of course, after telling the truth to these people who were vile, they became a maddened mob and stoned him to death. You know, when we read this story, of course, the thing we think about in connection with Stephen is how devout and how sincere he really was. I'm wondering, as we talk to you on the broadcast today, if you can realize that there are going to be a lot of stones thrown at you in this life. I remember in a vacation Bible study recently telling the young people that were in the classes there as we had a general assembly for a period of time in the morning. I said, "Do you remember the story of David and Goliath?" And of course they did. This is a thrilling story. And how that David took the 5 stones out of the brook as he went to meet the giant, but he really only had to use 1 stone. And we spent time in trying to reflect upon what the stones might mean in our life as we met the giants daily. And I think there's a principle involved here. We may not have people throwing stones at us like they were at Stephen. I certainly hope that that doesn't happen. But we're going to be put to the test. And what will our attitude be? Will we take the attitude that vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord? Or will we follow the course of striking back? In other words, if someone does something to me, then I must turn around and do something to them. The interesting factor about it is we can do something for that person. Just like Jesus said in Matthew 5:44, from that memorable sermon there, known as the Sermon on the Mount. An excerpt from that tells us in that verse that he even said to love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that despitefully use you. And then he went on to say that this will be a positive proof that you are a child of God. In other words, it would indicate that this person who was taking the attitude, truly following the Lord, and this would indicate to us that in our lives that we should become Christians, we should obey the gospel, then the deeds that we do in this life and the attitudes that we have in this life can abound to our account as Christians. Individuals will not alone look at our life and say, there's a good man, but someone will say, not alone was that a good man, but that was a Christian. So Jesus offered a teaching, you see, that required a person to walk the second mile. Paul mentioned about if your enemy was hungry, well, feed him. If he was thirsty, give him drink. And he mentioned about heaping coals of fire upon his head. You know, we have a teaching here that I'm sure is outstanding, and as we realize, the maddened mob that actually stoned Stephen were people who had been building up to this for some time. I find it interesting to analyze the events that are found in the early chapters of Acts. I find in the third chapter that there was the healing of the lame man. This man in the beautiful gate of the temple who had never taken a step in his life was healed by Peter and John through the power of God. And how this wave went all over the crowd, all over the people who were worshiping in the temple, for it was the hour of prayer. And surely they realized, this man who had never walked in his life, who was over 40 years old, that a notable miracle had been performed. Those who would not examine the apostles in a proper light, but decided to try to threaten them, try to overthrow them, try to shut them up, so to speak, found that these men were moved with a deep conviction. And after the fourth chapter, which tells us about the imprisonment of Peter and John, and the fifth chapter of Acts telling us about the imprisonment of the entire apostle body, we have these apostles in the last part of that fifth chapter finally being let go after they had beaten them and had threatened them and told them not to speak in the name of this Lord Jesus. But the book says in Acts 5:42 that daily in the temple and from house to house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. So this thing continued to build. And finally, we have, of course, the idea that comes out here in this seventh chapter, how that Stephen is brought there for a trial, and how he makes this wonderful defense. And as he brings his sermon to its climax, he says, "You have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it." And then an excerpt from this same chapter in verse 54 of Acts 7. "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. And he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him." What a tragedy. And yet, you see, they could not blot out Christianity. The beginning of the 8th chapter indicates to us that Saul was consenting unto the death of Stephen. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. There were devout men who carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. And then in verse 3, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison." But what was the reaction? Here's the reaction in verse 4. "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." You see, the word of God, when it is believed and followed in our lives, is something that cannot be blotted out. I read the words of the Apostle Peter, who knew much about this and was speaking by inspiration. In 1 Peter 1:25, he mentioned the word of the Lord endureth forever. And he said, "This is the gospel which is preached unto you." So may we leave this thought that I trust will be a sterling thought to your mind today on the broadcast. Men for centuries have tried to blot out the teaching of God's word. But it would seem that this teaching that is transferred into the good deeds and the righteous action of obedience on the part of Christians only makes the picture more vivid, only makes the wonderful story of the cross something that actually causes people to realize, in the face of all this opposition, in the face of all of this persecution, here is something that we can truly believe and something that we can follow from sin to everlasting life. A lady told me one time, who apparently from her past life had been quite a, we might say, sinful person. I did not go into the sins that she had committed. I am certain that there were things that were between her and God. And I was desirous to know that she'd obeyed the gospel. And she said, "The one thing that came to my mind All the things that I've done against the Lord are now past. He hath forgiven my sins because I have turned from my sins in complete obedience. Because of my faith, I have confessed with my mouth that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I have followed that with baptism into Christ. And I have full confidence that every sin is forgiven. And she said, now before me is a pathway that's going to have pitfalls. But Jesus has taught me through his word how I may overcome those pitfalls, or if I stumble and fall, how I may get up and travel on. So you see, here's something very personal, that even though men used persecution to try to wipe it out, it was like someone trying to stomp out a forest fire or a small bonfire. The sparks only fly in different directions, but where a spark lands, it starts a new fire. You know, it's been good to be with you for these few minutes, and I hope that you've taken time out from the activities of your day to reflect with us as we take this few minutes with your Bible. This has been brought to you by your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ, who have a sincere desire that men read the Word of God and think intently about what it has to offer, that they might obey it from their heart. So Brother Stephen, who was in the family of God, in the face of death itself, said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. The Lord wants to forgive our sins. We ask you, if you're not a Christian, to hear the word, to believe it, to repent of your sins, to confess your faith in Christ, that you believe he's the Son of God, and be immersed, baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Come forth to walk a new life. Stand for him here and live with him there. May God bless us all as we obey that marvelous and that wonderful truth.